Joe Giglio with you live from Chickies and Pete's in South Philadelphia, the Bud Light Eagles pep rally. Jalen Mills, who just kind enough to give us a few minutes, was here signing some autographs. We have giveaways, including, how about this? We're giving away a trip to New Orleans on Sunday for the game, Eagles and the Saints on Sunday. And our next guest, he's going to be either there or watching it down in New Orleans because he is a host on Sports 1280 down in New Orleans. I believe he does midday, 10 to 12. His name is Chris Gordy, and he's kind enough to join us now to talk about the game. Chris, how you doing, man?
What's going on, Joe? You've been enemy number one in New Orleans today, my friend.
You know, you wake up in the morning, you don't know what the day's going to bring. I didn't know that was going to happen, but we can talk about that, Chris. So this morning, and I've been saying kind of similar things on the air tonight, so I don't think it'll come as a surprise to the audience. I said, look, I think the Eagles are going to win this game, and they have a better roster from top to bottom. They're playing better lately. And I don't think the bye, the home field, and the overrated Sean Payton are going to make up for that. So I guess the Saints fans didn't appreciate this, Chris?
No, they didn't. And, I'll disagree with you there. I mean, I think, look, it's a tale of injuries. I mean, if the Eagles were fully healthy right now, you talked about being a better team on paper before the start of the season, I'd agree with you. You know, I think the Eagles on paper coming into the year probably were slightly better than the Saints. But I think what transpired is, you know, the Saints really a lot of guys maturing in their second year, like Marshawn Lattimore and Marcus Williams, Cam Jordan having a fantastic year, Sheldon Rankins stepping up and having his best year as a Saint. So, you know, the Saints have really, a lot of guys have gotten better and played above their head this year, whereas the Eagles, man, I mean, I really just think it's the injuries that are going to do them in. When you look at this matchup just a couple weeks ago when Philly came down to New Orleans, you know, the only thing really different is Carson Wentz is playing, or rather Nick Foles is playing instead of Carson Wentz. But, you know, when I look at the secondary, and I know Sidney Jones has been, you know, limited all week in practice, but, you know, he's the guy Drew Brees was targeting last time around. He was looking for where Sidney Jones was. So, I just feel like it's not going to be 48-7 this go-round, but, I think Philly has a lot to be proud of, at least for what they've done, you know, getting back into the playoffs after – it looked pretty bleak there at 4-6, and you know, winning 6 of your last 7 games was phenomenal, although I think you guys got cheated in that Dallas game, so it should have been 7 in a row. But I just feel like the injuries are going to be too much. If you had Darby, if you had Mills, if you had Barnett, if you had McLeod, I think this is a different game. But I just feel like the Saints, and this is the best stat you'll hear today, Saints will have 21 of their 22 opening day starters healthy in this game. The only one out is Patrick Robinson, and they replaced him, you know, basically with Eli Apple midseason. So I think there's no shame if Philly does lose to New Orleans, just knowing that, man, if the injury situation was different, I think this would be a much closer game.
Yeah, I mean, theoretically, I would agree with you, but the Eagles have gotten better since losing those guys. It's weird. None of us expected it. None of us thought it. But there's a lot more different about these teams than just Foles. I mean, the secondary, you're right, Sidney Jones. But it's funny, Chris, we don't even really want Sidney Jones to play, even though he practiced all week, because the secondary has been better without him. And you're right, Drew picked him apart in New Orleans that day. But the offensive line was very banged up at that point. It's very healthy now. There's a different left guard. Jason Kelsey's healthier. Johnson. So there's a lot more health, and the team's just playing a lot better. But, Chris, you brought up Nick Foles. I want to get your perspective on Nick, because I'll tell you here, we debate Nick Foles all week long, even though he's the Eagles quarterback. There's a segment of people in town who still said, like, come on, like, this is just magic, and he's not the guy. We love Nick, but, you know, come on. This is just craziness again. And then there's people like myself who say, this has been going on long enough that I can't ignore how good he is. He's a different quarterback now, and I expect big things every time he plays in a big game. Chris, what do you think about Nick Foles?
I think, Joe, you got to take last season and separate it. I mean, it's easy to take last postseason success and what an amazing run it was getting to the Super Bowl and winning it. I was at the game. I was rooting for Philly because, you know, I didn't want to see Tom Brady and New England win again. So, I think you got to separate last postseason success with this postseason. It's a different team. It's a different feel, different personnel. I heard you were hyping up Nick Foles and how he's been playing recently. But, you know, let's look at the facts. They only put up 16 points last week. And I know it's tough to play in Chicago. And I know that's a great defense. But, you know, he threw for 266 last week. He threw two interceptions last week. So, we can't act like he's Joe Montana right now. He is fallible. You know, and it took him 4 downs from the 2-yard line to punch it in. So it really is that there's a lot of positive to say about it, but I also think we kind of have to temper expectations with how he's playing. And I think we're going to see on Sunday. That Superdome is going to be loud. It's going to be rocking, and we're going to see if Nick Foles can make the throws. And if he can't, if they get limited at all and they're going three and out and we're seeing a lot of punting, I think it's going to get ugly real quick.
Well, I would agree with that. Yeah, there can't be three and outs. The Eagles are going to have to score points. Nick is going to have to play even better than he did last week and more like he did towards the end of the regular season. Chris, offensively, because we all kind of think about this game and how it could look in points, typically I would say, you know, the Eagles are going to have to score 30, 35 points to win this game in the Dome. But you look at the end of the season, let's say from Thanksgiving on, the Saints' offense wasn't the same. What happened? You know, is it something that you guys and Saints fans are concerned about? Or was it just kind of circumstantial? Why did the Saints seemingly slow down as the year went on?
Well, there's a few things there. One, they went on a three-game road trip that I think any NFL team, you put them on this three-game road trip, going to Dallas, going to Tampa, and then going to Carolina on a Monday night against a Carolina team that basically their season was on the line. You know, that's a pretty brutal three-game road stretch. So the Saints were able to win two out of three in that stretch. And, you know, let's be honest, in that Dallas game, a lot of calls didn't go their way, and they still had the ball with, you know, a couple minutes to go, only down three. So, you know, it's theoretically, they really could have won all three of those games. It's just it was a brutal road stretch, and they had injuries. You know, we talked about the injuries the Eagles had. The Saints had two of their biggest, you know, players out, one in Teron Armstead, who's arguably their best offensive lineman, and their vertical threat, their deep threat in Ted Ginn. You know, both those guys were out in the Philly game last time around. The bad news for Philly is both those guys are back, and they're healthy. Teron Armstead is back this week, so the Saints have their full complement of their starting offensive line, and they have Ted Ginn, who, if you watched the end of that Saints-Steelers game a couple weeks ago, really took the top off that defense, and the Steelers had to respect it. And Ted Ginn made a couple of huge catches on third and fourth down to keep that game alive and really secure the victory for the Saints. So those are two guys who have been difference makers since they've returned, and I think we're going to see it on Sunday. Teron Armstead and Ted Ginn will really make a difference this week.
Chris Gordy, Sports 1280, down in New Orleans, talking about this game with us here in the evening show on WIP. Chris, earlier I mentioned the pressure on Sunday as you hear the pep rally I'm at with the Eagles chant going on in the background. We're fired up. But, Chris, I think the pressure on Sunday squarely on the Saints. I mean, they're the number one seed. They had the better season. You said it yourself a few minutes ago. The Eagles probably are proud and should be proud for making it back to this spot considering where their season went. What about that pressure, though? Do you think it's being felt by the Saints? Do you guys feel it for them? Number one seed, home field advantage. Breeze probably doesn't have many shots of this left. Pressure on the Saints on Sunday. What do you think?
See, you said pressure, but I feel like the pressure would be there if they had to go on the road and try to win a game. The pressure here is you work hard all season for them to have home field advantage because they are so good in that dome, because they have not lost a playoff game in the Superdome under Sean Payton, in the Sean Payton and Drew Brees era. And really the key to me is going to be how good does the offense look. You know, again, we can go back to that game from a couple weeks ago and how they attacked the Philly defense. But I'll give you this stat. I heard you say earlier that Jim Schwartz is a better defensive coordinator than Dennis Allen. And, you know, maybe for their careers that may be true. But I go look at what Jim Schwartz defense has done the last four times he's faced Drew Brees and the Saints. Against Schwartz defenses, the last four games, the Saints have averaged 42.3 points a game. They scored a minimum of 31 points in all four outings versus Schwartz. So Sean Payton and Drew Brees just seem to be maybe Jim Schwartz's kryptonite or something, but that number was just staggering when I saw that. I know that goes back to Schwartz's days in Detroit, but still, it just seems like he doesn't know how to – his defense is as good as they've been, especially in Philly. They just – he doesn't know how to slow down Drew Brees and Sean Payton.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't know that one, but I can – obviously the one that happened in November added to that, and I can remember when Schwartz was the head coach of the Lions when they got to the playoffs, maybe that first time he got him there, they lost to Drew Brees and the Saints. So I'm not shocked that he's not had much success. All right, Chris, before we let you go, obviously here we worry about Drew Brees. We worry about your home field advantage. We worry about the Eagles just going up against a team that might just outscore the magic of Nick Foles. When you look at the Eagles, what's your worry? What has been the pulse of the Saints fans' worry? If there is one, what is it for this game on Sunday?
I think the one saving grace for Philly. And look, the Saints have been, you know, for most of the season, they were number one in stopping the run. The only team that was better than them at the end of the year was Chicago, and we saw Chicago stop Philly's run. So I think New Orleans is going to take away the run, and obviously with, you know, Wendell Smallwood and Darren Sproles, they were limited last week. I think the Saints are going to take that away. So what does that mean? It means it's on Nick Foles to throw it down the field. Now, the good news is you guys have Alshon Jeffery. You got Golden Tate. You got some great weapons to stretch the field. Marshawn Lattimore, the Saints' reigning Defensive Rookie of the Year, has had a really good season. I think he's going to take away the number one guy, whoever that is. So really it's going to come down to Eli Apple, who you guys know very well, played with the New York Giants, and it's been a mixed bag since he's been in New Orleans. It's been some good, it's been some bad. So I think if Foles is able to attack Eli Apple, that's going to be the matchup to watch. Whoever he is on, whether it's Tate, whether it's Jeffery, whoever it is, that's going to be the matchup to watch. And if Foles exposes that, I think Philly's going to be able to move the ball up and down the field and score some points. But if Eli Apple comes up and plays big like he did a couple weeks ago in Carolina or in Tampa, I think they're going to take that away and maybe come up with an interception or two. And I think that could maybe be the difference in the game. I predicted 41-31. I think the Saints still cover, but I think it's a lot closer than the last matchup.
All right, yeah. I mean, look, Apple has talent. He was a top 10 pick. It didn't work with the Giants. We'll see, but I'll be thinking about that during the game. Chris, I really appreciate you hopping on here. And tell your audience I appreciate all the kind words on Twitter.
All right, thank you. I'll tell them to put their pitchforks down.
You got it, all right, Chris. Appreciate it. Chris Gordy, 1280. Down in New Orleans, giving us some time there. I'm hearing a lot of, I heard some overconfidence there. What do you think, Jack?